good manner. Our free Bible reading will be taken from the book of Ephesians, chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 11 to 13. And it reads, "Therefore, remember that at one time you Gentiles in the flesh, called the uncircumcision, by what is called the circumcision, which is made in the flesh by hands. Remember that you were at that time separated from Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers to the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. 13. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." I read that again. 13. "But now in Christ Jesus, you who were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ." Amen.
Amen.
Good morning, brethren.
Good morning.
Good to be here on the Lord's Day, as always, to be in fellowship. I want to extend a warm welcome to all our visitors here today. We want to thank you for being with us. We pray that your time today will be an uplift and an encouragement as you spend this time in the fellowship and worship of the congregation. So we give thanks to God. Our subject today is fellowship. Over the last few weeks, we've been witnesses on the TV and in our communities to the terrible things going on in our cities. People who are rising up against people because of their nationalities, and buildings being damaged, and people being mistreated. People being mistreated because of where they come from, their land or their country. One of the greatest blessings of being a Christian is that we are united as one, without any question. In fact, God's people, all of God's creation, we're created in His image. God was pleased with His creation. And we live in a world that's divided by borders and rules and regulations and visas and applications and passports, but in the Word of God, there is no passport, there is no visa required. All that is required is to be added into His body, and that is done through His work. And so the greatest blessing is this connection that we have as Christians. You know, we're united as a body. We have each other to be able to gain our strength and our encouragement from. I want us to think about this aspect of fellowship. 2 Peter 1 and verse 1. In 2 Peter 1 and verse 1, we meet Simon Peter, a bondservant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of God and Saviour Jesus Christ. This passage refers to this aspect of fellowship and what it consists of. It talks about here, as he describes himself as a bondservant and apostle, as a follower of Jesus Christ himself, and then he talks about those who have obtained something like precious faith with us. In other words, united and bonded together under that precious faith in Jesus Christ, by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. We, brethren, are the body of Christ, and we are united because of that in this amazing relationship. We are children of God. You know, being a child of God involves so many things. It involves our being together. It involves our coming together as a body with other Christians. Fellowship is where we you know, fellow. You know, we're united together. We're one group. We're a body. And we're united in such a way as Christians that we are reliant upon each other. We're dependent upon each other. We require so much, and we need to give so much of ourselves to one another in order that we might grow as Christians, because this journey is not an easy journey. And even when we look in the society and see the state of the world that we live in, we have to stand out and be different. And the problem is, and I believe this strongly as I study this and as I look at this kind of topic, is that so often, brethren, we do not understand the importance of our collective, and I say the word collective, work, and the way that we live together, the way that we operate as a congregation. Sometimes we can almost go as solo Christians. You know, I've met people who, they spend their whole life just alone in their Christian walk. They'll go and worship on a Sunday, but go straight away again and just go on with their solo life. And of course, yes, we have to work out our own salvation. We have to focus on our life, but we have a responsibility as a church to one another. And it's very critical. You know, some believe we are to have just minimal involvement, you know, in our ministry with others. I don't need to be involved with the church. The church won't really need me. But in effect, we need each other. We need each other. You know, others believe we should be doing more with each other on a more frequent level. And some people believe we should be doing less. Brethren, we need each other. We really do. And this journey is not an easy journey. You know, there is a disconnect when, if we refer in our life to things that they are doing, it ought to be things that we are doing. And so when you look at the church, it shouldn't be look what they are doing, but it should be look what we are doing as a body. And the consequences of such attitudes are dangerous unless we can unite and be united together. And that's very important. And you know, sometimes you may feel disconnected. It may not be your fault. It could be the leadership, or it could be things that have allowed that to happen. But the important thing is that we look to ways to change that. I know yesterday when the brothers were together, we were very focused on this idea of being able to incorporate the church together, united in so many ways. Do you know, it's not God's intention that this should happen. And we need to note the significance, the importance of a Christian being. And not only that, we need to notice the importance of being connected together and how important that is. From the Bible, we see some illustrations, and that's what we're going to look at in our sermon today. I want us to think about our world with Christ, but think about the body. The congregation, each other, your brothers and sisters, this is our family, we need each other. In Acts 2 verse 42 it says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship, in the breaking of bread and in prayers. And I love that, what a lovely passage, they continued steadfastly. You know, you think of things that are steadfast. I think I've referred before about the time that Bradley and myself set out to take a tree down in my garden. And that thing was not going. It was such a big tree. And eventually we cut it down, and it was like this. And we got it down to about this height. We couldn't get it any further down. That thing was not moving. That was going nowhere. And it was steadfast. It was steadfast and grounded. I always refer back to Brother Gary when he did his series of studies on our roots, deeper roots, one of the most memorable lessons. This is so important, brethren, as a church, to understand the importance of deeper. Get yourself rooted. Get yourself rooted. Make sure that you're standing steadfastly. And with this comes this fellowship, continuing steadfastly in what the apostles' doctrine. And fellowship. The apostles didn't write their own doctrine. This was the doctrine, the holy word of God. This was God's word, steadfastly grounded. And so through the teaching and through the grounding and through the steadfastness, they broke bread together. That is fellowship. When we come together today to break bread on the communion, there was also the breaking of bread in their homes when they had a meal. Well, the breaking of bread around the table is a communion. It's something that we are united in, and it's something that we need to be steadfast in. And that is in the breaking of bread and in prayers. This relationship with God, this communication with God, and this firm, unwavering man. Let our life be like that. Let our fellowship be like that. Let me say, you know, today, how's my fellowship been? I'm going to be steadfast in that. I'm going to be there. I'm going to be a part of this fellowship. I'm going to be a part of this communion. You know, today our own children, all my children will go away. Every one of them, all seven of them, Bethany and Daniel are already away. They've all gone away today for a week vacation together with their husbands and grandchildren. And the first thing they did, they said they needed their communion. And so they gathered all that together to take with them. And that is the kind of thing that you want to hear. Because this is talking about steadfast, even if I'm away, even if I'm on a campsite somewhere or away somewhere else, my focus is going to be my steadfastness in my fellowship and also my steadfastness in the way that I conduct my life. There is an association where we have something very special. Very special as Christians, because as Christians we are fellow citizens. We are fellow citizens. You see, the world outside is fighting because the world is divided. In the Old Covenant, of course, you have the Jews and the Gentiles, you have the Old Law. And of course, we know through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ that this was now for all. They were told to go into all the world and preach to all the people, to the circumcised, to the uncircumcised, to the Jew, to the Gentile. All of mankind, because why? Because Jesus Christ says, I want all of my people to be fellow citizens in my kingdom. I want them all to have this blessing. And so whether we are from India or Africa or wherever we come from around this globe, when we come together in the body of Christ, we become citizens and we become fellow citizens in this fellowship, Ephesians 2:13. But now Christ Jesus, you who once were far off, has been brought near by the blood of Christ. That's how it came. That's how it came. That's what united us. Now, therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens, everything in common, brethren, with the who? With the saints and members of the household of God. That is very important to understand. We have a citizenship. We go on together. We are members. We are united together. We were added to his body by him on the day that we gave our life to Christ in baptism. And therefore, no longer strangers and foreigners. There's no divisions. There's no divide in the body of Christ. We are one. And we share that same citizenship. A fellow citizen is a person from one's own city or country. In other words, that's where you belong. And Jesus Christ says that those who give their life to me are citizens in my body, in my kingdom. And therefore, Christians, therefore, are persons from the household of God. And so therefore, we have everything in common. Everything in common. And there is no division. There is no divide. There is nothing that comes between us. We are heirs of this amazing gift. What are we heirs of? You know, when I pass away, when I leave this earth and I go to my heavenly place and my wife, and she passes away and goes to our heavenly place, you know, my children inherit, they become heirs of what? Of whatever we have left. They become heirs to that. They take that responsibility. In the Old Testament times, of course, the kings, we've been studying the kings, you know, their children become heirs. We recently studied King Hanun. Who became the heir of the throne of his father who had died and passed on and gone. And so he inherited that. Why? Because he'd be he was part of that kingdom. He was part of that line. Now Ephesians 3:6 says that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ through the gospel. The gospel that brings you to Christ and Christ's blood that places you into his kingdom through obedience to his word, through giving our life to him. Jew and Gentile, rich and poor, doesn't matter where you come from, it doesn't matter what your status is, it doesn't matter, God's not going to say how did you get on in life, or how many degrees did you get, or how well did you climb, he's going to say how was your walk, how was your Christian walk, how did you stay in fellowship, how did you remain strong. You know, fellow heirs, a person who shares an inheritance with another. That means I share this eternal inheritance with my Christian family here, and you share it with me. There is no division. The body is a group or a whole structure combined of many parts. That is us. That's who we are. We're all different parts, but we need each other. Not one part of my body I do not need. God has given the things that I need to help me to sustain myself physically. Well, in the church, he also provides people with gifts and abilities and talents to be used in order for that body to function. The function has to be in fellowship. The body has to be united together. You cannot have a divided body. Be very careful. Understand that. We cannot have a divided body. I can't have a part of my body divided from the rest of it. And that is why it's so important that we, as a Christian, understand fellowship. That we understand that we belong together, we have to stay together. And the times when the devil is going to try and tear us apart, what we've got to do is stay strong in his holy word and fight strong and say, this is the word of God. This is the truth. This is what will stand up against the devil and prevent division and prevent God's body as he intended it to be torn apart by Satan and his evil ways. And remembering that we are partakers. In other words, we are what those who take or have a part or share along with others. And that is a blessing. You know, when we partake of the communion, we're partakers. You know, as we take the bread and we take the wine, we're partakers of that same feast, of that same remembrance. Each and every one of us are able to partake in something that we belong to through Jesus Christ. And therefore we have that fellowship. You know, brethren, Philippians 2 verse 25 says this. Philippians 2 25. Yet I consider it necessary to send to you Epaphroditus, my brother, fellow worker and fellow soldier, but your messenger, and the one who ministered to my need. We work together as we extend the right hand of fellowship. And I love that. You know, brother, parents, whatever we do in our life as Christians, we are fellow workers for the kingdom. We are fellow workers for the kingdom. Brother Gary this morning, when he referred to the fact that your fields where you are will be fields that I may never be able to get into, your workplaces, your communities, your neighbours, and the same with me. You know, there are areas in my life that I'm involved in that you may never get to be involved in. And so therefore I look at this and realise the responsibility we have, that when we're serving the kingdom of God in our communities, we do that in a fellowship. We may not be together physically, but we are the same calling, we have the same mission. We are fellow workers. How does he refer? Fellow workers, fellow soldiers, fighting the battle, standing firm, holding the ground, keeping the faith. People who are reliant, and people who can be relied upon. This relationship that we have, he is, what did he say, my brother? He's my brother. He's my fellow worker. Brother is a big deal. Brother is a big deal. We call each other brothers and sisters because we are in Christ. He's a big, important task to be that connected. That means my brother, they are my life. These are people I want to look out for and take care of, and I need them to watch my back as well. My brother, my fellow worker, yeah, I'm doing something and my fellow workers are there with me. Fellow soldiers, there's battles in this world. We have to stand firm in our faith. We're going to have challenges. We're going to have struggles and difficulties in our walk, because the devil is, he's at war with God's people. He's at war with this room. And he will do what he can to create these things, and we have to stand firm as soldiers of Christ and overcome together. He says, but your messenger and the one who ministered to my need and tended and cared and was the spiritual focus. We work together as we extend the right hand of fellowship. What a blessing. What an encouragement that we have. In Galatians 2 verse 9, it says, when James, Cephas and John, who seemed to be pillars, perceived the grace that had been given to me, they gave me and Barnabas the right hand of fellowship. Here we go. Here's the fellowship. That we should go to the Gentiles and they too to the circumstance. Now, extending your right hand is an act of acceptance. An act of acceptance and an extension of brotherhood. That is a real gift. That is a real blessing. And in short, we share together in the working revolved worlds of the Christian life. We share that together. And that is the fellowship that we have one with another. With our fellow Christians, with each other, there's so much involved in our walk, more than just being here on a Sunday morning for 2 hours. There's so much more involved. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 17, honour all people. Honour all people. We have that saying, don't you? Make yourself the smallest in the room when you come through the door. Every one of us. I just want to look up to each one of you. Honour all people. Love the brotherhood. Fear God. Honour the King. Honour, respect and esteem. Honour all people. Old, young, rich, poor. Whatever nationality, whatever stages you are in your walk with Christ. Listen, we're at different levels. We're at different stages. There are people who, maybe when I was younger, sometimes you'll find, sometimes you may even overtake people. You'll pass them in your learning and in your study. But honor all people, old, young, rich and poor, love the brotherhood, the love as a brother. Should be the love that we should have. The love as a brother. Fear God. Fear God. You know what that means? It means respect. It means awe, submission, and consequence. I fear electricity, but I love it. You know, when I go to my house and I can put my light on when it's dark. In the winter when it's cold, I can put my heater on and keep warm. I can go to my oven and switch the switch and it heats up my food. And that is powered by electricity. And I love it. But let me tell you something, I have respect for that. I'm not going to go taking sockets off the wall and start putting my hands inside there or touching it. Because why? Because I fear. I fear what could happen if it's misused. I have a respect and awe for the power of electricity. And therefore I have an awareness of the fact that though it is a blessing, it could also, if misused, become a downfall for you in your life. And so we need to fear God. We love our God. We love our Creator, but fear the consequences of getting things out of order with Him. You know, resist the devil and draw near to me. You see, he talks about honouring the King. Respect for sentiments of his authority. In other words, understand his authority. You know, we say, not my will, but thine. Do we mean that? when we go on our knees to pray and we call him our holy heavenly Father, and do we really mean that? Do we show the reverence in the way that we can look at our lives? Do we show him in the way that we present ourselves to him as living sacrifices? Are we the sacrifices that are pleasing to him? You see, we need to honour the King. And that is involved in the fellowship that we have together as we unite as a body and as we become together. This is a precious one. This is a precious one. Ephesians 2 verse 19. Now therefore you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. And the word I'm looking at here is household. Because we are the house. We are the house. We're the family of God. I'm pretty certain that everybody sometime this week has been cleaning the house. They've done something in the house. You may have done your windows this week, or hoovered the carpets, or mopped the floors, or had a cleaning session of some kind. But you would have done something in your house this week to make your house how it needs to be in order for you to function. Now, in our membership and as Christians, as the household of God, we need to be doing some housework. We need to be doing some cleaning within ourselves and within the body. We need to be pulling ourselves together. We need to be resolving divisions. We need to be stopping anything that stands between us and allowing the household to be the way that God would want it to be. You see, when we come together, two or three are gathered, is in our presence. Is our household acceptable to him? If somebody was coming to my home and some important person in society, maybe we clean the house and get it ready and make sure that it's prepared. So the mayor's coming from the city and the mayor's coming to our home for tea. I'm going to clean the place and get it ready, and Jan will be washing the windows and we'll be doing everything that needs to be done so that when our visitor comes into our presence, the place is acceptable to him. This, brethren, is the house of God. And where we gather, he is in our presence. Now the question is this house in order? Is this house presenting itself in a way that is acceptable to him? And you could say that your offering is acceptable to me. This is pleasing to me. When we become heirs, when we become a part of his family, we become caretakers of his household. We need to preserve it. We need to keep it together. And we need to stay focused by his rules, his way, so that we can keep things the way that he would want them to be. Because when you're a part of the house of God, you are members of his home. 1 Corinthians 12:27, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. So we all have an important part to play. We all have an important part to play. In my household, I can tell you now that you won't get away in our household with my wife. If you just come in and you pick your things up and you just throw them down and we'll sit down and you have something to eat and you just throw your plate and leave it on the side. Listen, you will last 5 minutes in our house. My wife will be on your tail so quickly. Because in the home it's important that we ensure that we maintain the family together as a body, as a membership, so that we're clearing up together and working together as a body. And so we have important parts to play, and each and every person here has a part to play. Don't feel undervalued, and don't feel that God hasn't got a plan for you. If you think God can't use you, that's an insult to God. You underestimate God. God will use you. 100%, he will use you. And it may not be how you may feel at the time, but he's got something he wants from you, and when you use that, he will use it to his glory. We're all under every aspect of our life. Everything. You know, Ephesians 1:22, he put all things under his feet, and gave him to be head over all things to the church. And in verse 23 of Ephesians 1, it says, which is his body. In other words, this is his household, this is his home. The fullness of him who fills all in all. In other words, he will make sure he's got a task for you. And we are all under. Every living thing, he's the head over, Jesus Christ. It's his church, his body. And we are filled and sustained by him, not man. You know, saints are one body in Christ and members of one another. And that's what we have to remember. So in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others, Romans 12 and verse 5. And what I love about this is the fact that it says that we belong to each other. In other words, I'm dependent upon you. I need you. You need me. We need each other. God is a wise God. He knows we can't make this journey alone. And so in his wisdom, he prepares to provide for his people. And so our fellowship, brethren, is attending and participating and assembling together and being together and being united in this incredible body that we are a part of. And Hebrews 10:24 speaks of that. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And it's so important, you know, there are times when circumstances, of course, prevent it. And that's understandable. You know, there are times when things prevent us being together. But when we can be together, that's where we should be. I can think of no better place to be than here, with my Christians, with my family. What for? In Hebrews 10, it talks about exhorting one another. And so much the more as you see the day approaching. You see, the time is coming when our time on this earth will end. And so how we use our time here is critical. Exhorting is to strongly encourage and urge someone. And you can't do that if you're not with them. And so we need to be together in order to carry out that task. We need to be united in this way, in such a way, you know, that we can stay strong in our work with him. Of course, there are other things we do. Our fellowship requires that we contribute financially. You know, we contribute to his kingdom, to his work. 1 Corinthians 16:1 talks about that. You know, now concerning the collection of the saints, then he talks about the giving. And of course, that is part of the fellowship that we have. We have fellowship in our singing. We have fellowship in our worship. We have fellowship in our prayer. We have fellowship in our communion. We have fellowship in our reading. We have fellowship in our eating together and being together. And we have fellowship because we are the body of Christ. And so we need to stay strong. I want to finish with this. Much of the joy in Christ comes from our relationship with other citizens in the same body. You know, that is part of it. And so I want to leave you with 3 John 3. It says, "For I rejoiced greatly when brethren came and testified of the truth that is in you. Just as you walk in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth." Amen.